This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
HoopsCritic.com's at HoopsCritic on Twitter, SiriusXM, NBA TV, and on his way to get a haircut right now. Brian Geltzeiler joining us on the Triple Threat. What's up, Geltz?
What's up, Geltz?
What's up, Shawnee? Listen, I mean, it's a hard work staying this handsome. You know what I mean, guys?
No. Hey, Geltz, look at me. I feel you, bro.
You just roll out of bed. You have no hair to.
Hey, it all comes natural to you. I mean, we should all look as good as Ted Johnson, right?
Oh, please, please. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it takes hard work to kind of keep this body lean and felt like it is, man.
Yep. So, Geltz.
I hear you.
And Geltz.
Well, whatever it is, it's working, Teddy. Keep it up.
I'll keep it up, brother.
It's okay. So, Geltz, my contention yesterday was that, yes, the Rockets could go out and win game two, but if it was a game where Golden State was just missing a bunch of threes and the Rockets win at the end of the game in the last minute of the game, that's not going to do a ton for the collective confidence of everybody thinking the Rockets can still win this series. My analogy was they need to cut the Russian. They need to draw blood like Rocky against Ivan Drago. Did the Rockets do that last night in game two, in your mind?
Well, in the immortal words, I believe it was Barry Tompkins that said it. The Russian is cut, okay? Because that's exactly what happened. What was interesting last night is, and there was a substantive change in the Rockets from a pace and tempo standpoint. In game one, they were cool playing ISO. They were cool, drawing the matchup that they had prepared for in the half court, which pretty much was Kevon Looney. And they were going to go at him for better or for worse. And when it wasn't working, they kept doing it over and over and over again. Okay, that's fine. All right, but now in this scenario here, to come out last night and just have the playing with fast pace dominate the day. I mean, it's interesting. The Rockets of past years have always been one of the fastest teams in the league. This year they were in the top half, but they weren't in the top 10. They were a team that was content because of the strength and isolation basketball. They were content to play a little bit slower. Last night was about playing with pace, playing fast, and being able to take advantage of the open looks that gives you. Now, the thing is, the downside of that is Golden State's really good at that too. But Golden State didn't look prepared for it last night. They looked like a team that wasn't prepared for what they saw. And quite frankly, they should have been. Here are two other things that I thought were very interesting. Number one, boy, did they attack the hell out of Curry last night. And I don't want to hear the knee's not right. The knee's fine. He's just not that good defensively. And they took gross advantage of him. So that to me was a very big deal. And then the other thing was what they did defensively. And this is kind of what, listen, you're never going to stop Kevin Durant. Forget about even thinking about shutting down Kevin Durant. You almost want to waste a bad defender on Durant because you're not really going to be able to do anything with him anyway. But if you can keep Curry and Thompson from hurting you, get Curry and Thompson combined for 26 points. That's a heck of a perimeter defensive job by the Rockets, and that's what they need to do. So, listen, to be able to play with that kind of pace against the Golden State Warriors and not compromise yourself defensively, it's a heck of a game, a heck of an accomplishment, and, boys, we got ourselves a series.
Yeah, Geltz, I mean, it's such a night and day difference between game one and game two. It was incredible. We were talking earlier about the Hampton Five, the form, the death lineup, if you will, against the Pelicans in that series. That group was plus 53. And last night's game, a minus 18. What is it about that starting five, that Hampton Five, why do you think the Rockets are able to kind of get after those guys?
Well, listen, last night I think it was just a matter of for Golden State, Steve Kerr, one of the things that's brilliant about how Steve Kerr coaches that team is the simplicity. Simple. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We just came out and dominated your backside. And, oh, by the way, our two-time MVP didn't even get going. So why am I going to come out and change anything? Well, they got caught unprepared. So that Hampton's five, which is a tremendous unit, was not ready to get out and run with the Rockets. I thought also, and this is interesting, and this is something I think you'll see here going forward, because it absolutely worked, because Eric Gordon was a monster last night. going to Gordon with an early substitution and saying, you know what, we're going to attack you guys by getting down the open floor and having shooters shoot threes. And Tucker played great. He threw in threes also, and the Rockets shot it real well. But going to Gordon early, getting Gordon established, gave them so many different weapons that five-man unit wasn't really sure where to go. It was almost a mirror image of game one a little bit in terms of what happened on the other side. The Rockets had too much offensively for that Hamptons five to handle. And then the other thing was, again, they were not really ready for what they saw. And so you had to help defense issues. The other thing is just about the Warriors and the Hamptons five in particular. Their obsession with complaining to the referees, it hurt them last night. It wasn't the reason they lost the game, but it hurt them last night. And if it continues, it's only going to hurt them more. And the biggest enabler is the head coach. Because when you have guys, I mean, Kevin Durant committed a foul. He had it two games in a row. It happened with Green in game one on a shot on Gordon in the corner on a three. It happened last night, I believe, on Gordon as well. There was a reason it happened to him in game one. It happened with Durant and Gordon last night, where Durant clearly leaves his feet on defense. Okay, clearly fouls Gordon. He's carrying on, and Steve Kerr's yelling with him. At a certain point in time as a head coach, you owe it to your players to look at them and be like, shut up to the officials, play your game, and don't worry about the calls. That never happens in Golden State. And I think that's a little bit of a problem with the entitlement of the group that you talk about, Teddy, that Hamptons five, and that's something that could be an issue going forward.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on Sports Radio 610. Gelt, speaking of issues going forward, there are clearly issues with this Rockets bench right now. Trust issues with Ryan Anderson, age issues with Nene, injury issues with Luka Mbamute. Are we at a stage now where this is going to be a seven-man rotation going forward with Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets? And do you think this is a problem, or is tightening up the bench maybe a good thing given the time of year that it is?
Last night he got hooked up a little bit because the game got out of reach a little bit, and he was able to kind of keep – he can play seven if he can keep everybody out of the 40-minute range. You know what I mean, Shawnee? That's the thing. The problem is going to be when you're playing seven and all of a sudden you look up and Harden's played 44 minutes and Paul's played 43 minutes. You need to keep those guys in the 37, 39-minute range, or you're going to fry them. And that's the important thing. And that goes back to the point I just made to you in answering Teddy's question. That's why the establishment of Gordon is so important. Because if Gordon can be the big-time guy he was last night, and you can ride him as one of your shooters and play him 35 to 37 minutes, you can get away with only playing seven guys. But I will also say this to you. I think they're going to need Luka Mbamute at one point or another in this series to do a lot more than he's done in the first two games. His timing looks off. He can't hit a shot. The Warriors are leaving him open. And what concerns me about Mbamute is he looks unsure defensively. And that's the part of his game that is obviously the strongest, where he does so much. So I definitely have plenty of concerns there regarding his health. But I do think D'Antoni's going to have to figure out some creative things. Maybe we get a little bit more of Gerald Green, especially since we're playing up tempo. But I do think he's going to have to, and it doesn't have to be the same guy every night, but you got to find eight to play some nights. It can't be seven every single game for the balance of the playoffs.
All right, Geltz, in game one, Harden had 26 ISOs in game one. Last night, down to 16. Chris Paul had 10 ISOs in game one, up to 16 in last night's game. Did you like that maybe Chris Paul was more of a point guy, more maybe taking more of the ball handling for the Rockets last night? Do you think that's kind of a strategy they need to kind of continue moving forward, having Chris Paul handle the ball more?
Teddy, it has to happen. And it has to happen because here's the thing. Just like I told you, Durant's not going to beat the Rockets alone. We saw in game one, Harden can't beat the Warriors alone. He's going to need a lot of help. And I thought last night's formula was much better. Listen, Chris Paul's waited a long time to get here. All right, put the ball in his hands and let him take care of some things. James Harden will organically get himself involved in the offense. He's too good not to. But Chris Paul, you're going to need to make sure that you place it in his hands at times to let him go do his thing. I was very impressed with how they did it last night. He can create some matchup difficulties for Golden State in certain spots. Certainly using Chris Paul as a weapon to go at Steph Curry, as they did last night, an extremely effective way to do it. And Teddy, I think you're absolutely on to that. They are going to need to use a lot of Chris Paul. And as I said, the other guy who was very key last night, Eric Gordon, is a huge key to this team. And up till last night, they ain't got much out of him in the playoffs. So last night was kind of the anomaly. They need last night to be consistent for Gordon. They need that triumvirate offensively. Harden, Paul, Gordon all need to be going on all cylinders for every game if they're going to beat this team.
To use Sopranos parlance, Geltz, they got to let Chris Paul skipper this thing a little bit more, right?
100% right. But I'll also say this in some Sopranos parlance, Shawnee. You know, some guys are also cut out to be the number two. Okay, and Chris Paul is the Silvio, all right, to James Harden's Tony Soprano here. Okay, which means there's times he will have to carry the load.
Yeah.
Okay, but remember what happened when Tony was in a coma.
Yeah.
If you have him carry the load too much, you're going to wheel him out of his house on a stretcher.
Yeah. We don't need a CP3 getting wheeled out to an ambulance with an oxygen mask on his face, Geltz. That would be bad.
Especially not with Tommy Bacala yelling at him, right?
Hey, Geltz, we got about 45 seconds. Just quick take on this Boston-Cleveland series. Does Cleveland come back and make this thing a series over these next couple games?
I will tell you this, guys. I'd be surprised if we're not coming back to Boston for a game 5 at 2-2. This is LeBron James, and there's too many things that you can take and switch around that happened with that Cavs team. Listen, Boston's very good. Don't get me wrong. This is not an overwhelming juggernaut. Cleveland can and should play much better, and all they got to do is take game 3, and all of a sudden this is a series again. And I do think getting Kevin Love more involved early, taking a little bit of burden off LeBron. George Hill and Kevin Love are the two most important players in the Cavs, not named LeBron James. Both of those guys have to be managed much better by Ty Lue and the coaching staff. And I think you will see that happen. Listen, the one thing I worry about with Cleveland is what Jeff Van Gundy said in the broadcast. More eye rolls than a bad marriage going on with that team. And they have to nip that stuff in the bud. They nip that stuff in the bud. And listen, this is LeBron. Everybody falls in a line when push comes to shove. Push has come to shove. I do think we'll see Cleveland fight back. I don't know that they win the series, but they're not going down with a whimper.
It's Brian Geltzeiler, Hoops Critic, at Hoops Critic on Twitter, Sirius XM, contributes on NBA TV as well, and we always love having him on this show. Go get handsome, Geltz.
Shawnee, from your mouth to God's ears, my man.
Be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, guys. All right. My pleasure. Thank you.
See you, bud.
Brian Geltzeiler, one of our favorites.
He's as good as it gets, man.
Breaking down the NBA. All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.